Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, as I was saying, when I was listening to the radio, I heard something.
And what did you hear?
A hissing sound like this.
Hey, T.A., let me aboard that mothership.
Permission to board that mothership, sir.
Well, you know, I had to slide through the intergalactic swag party.
T.A., man, beam me up. What's going on, my brother from another mother? Beam me up.
You guys are the best.
You guys make it.
Permission to board that
mothership.
What's up, T.A., brother?
Mothership has connected.
And you the man, T.A.
America, the mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour backyard blast off. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Seattle to St. Pete, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
You know, every so often that happens where I hit the wrong smart key. And it just so happens that the smart key that's right next to this.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
Happens to be a machine gun. And I don't know why that is saved in this little box of mine. I think it comes stock preloaded. There's a whole bunch of weird sound effects. And that just happens to be one of them. And it just happens to be set right next to they're listening to DA. So we should probably delete that because that is a really alarming way to begin your Monday morning. But that is the sound of Oinktober ending.
What are we doing here?
Who's woken up? Who's alert now? We ready to go? Coming up this morning on the show. By the way, we're coming to you live from the Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. Home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rockin' Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Coming up this morning on the show, former NFL quarterback Matt McGloin is going to join us. We'll talk NFL with him after the weekend that was. Matt will join us coming up in about 35 minutes from now. Also around the NFL, is this Sean Payton's best coaching job ever? Did Ned Flanders take a heel turn? Angry Ned Flanders? Should the Falcons fire Dan Quinn like right now? Are the Ravens the second best team in the AFC? And much more around the world of the NFL this morning. Also, we have our World Series matchup set. And coming up in about 15 minutes, we shall ask the question, has Piggy Doodle Dandy finally learned his lesson? All of that this morning on the show. Hit me up on the phones on any of those topics. I'm sure there's a few Astros fans. I'm sure there's a few D'Alien that might just want to call in to deliver a little sermon to Mraz about humility. So if you'd like to, here's your phone number, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. But let's begin with your Sunday night football game, Cowboys and Eagles. This one was the matchup everybody was waiting for. 3-3 teams doing battle. Loser would fall to 3-4. sub .500, and both teams had some major question marks. For the Eagles, the question marks really surrounded the injuries, but now question marks surrounded a little bit of Carson Wentz as well. An unnamed player telling Jacina Anderson last week that
Carson Wentz is making things too difficult. He's not checking down enough, that the offense isn't running the way that it's supposed to be. Doug Peterson, however, remember, kind of guaranteed a win. Peterson saying, we're going to go down there, we're going to win the football game. Well, when the dust settled, not only did the Eagles lose, they lost handily. Final score 37-10. The Cowboys absolutely blow the doors off the Eagles so badly that Michaels and Collinsworth spent about 5 minutes last night of the fourth quarter talking about the miracle on ice. You know it's a blowout. You know the Eagles got run over. You know the matchup didn't live up to the hype when Michaels and Collinsworth can spend 5 minutes in the fourth quarter talking about the miracle on ice 40 years ago. The Cowboys get 240 yards passing from Dak Prescott, plus a rushing touchdown. Ezekiel Elliott had 111 yards on the ground, plus a touchdown as well. The Cowboys suffocated the Eagles' offense. And we ask this question today. Are the Cowboys back to being scary? It's where we begin. Your cold open.
And they're going to go boot to the right. He's got nobody. He's going to keep it to the five. He's got a first down, dive into the pylon. Touchdown! Touchdown for Dak Prescott, as Babe called. And with that touchdown, Dak Prescott has surpassed Hall of Famer Roger Staubach for most rushing touchdowns in a career by a Cowboys quarterback. That's the 21st rushing touchdown of Dak Prescott's career.
Sure needed to get out here as a team, as an organization. We need to basically demonstrate to our fans, to ourselves, and to everybody that we're capable of playing a team like the Eagles.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Brad Sham on Cowboys Radio, Jerry Jones after the win. This makes me wonder why the Cowboys can't play like this more often. Last night was such a thorough demolition. They played so well early, took the game out of the Eagles' hands, and continued throughout the game. It makes me wonder why the Cowboys can be so bad that they are an offensive zero against the Saints. It makes me wonder why the Cowboys can be so bad they can drop below or they can fall behind by four touchdowns to the Packers. It makes me wonder why the Cowboys can be so bad they would look like that last week against the New York Jets. It makes me wonder if the Cowboys have this type of potential, why don't we get this type of team every week? And I think that speaks to the mentality inside that locker room. I think sometimes they get fat and happy. And I think that Jason Garrett is not consistent enough of a leader with a message. I think probably those guys generally like Jason Garrett. And I think when they start hearing stuff about him getting fired and him being under fire, they respond. We've seen this multiple times over the last couple of years in the Jason Garrett tenure. When the Cowboys are at their most scrutinized, when it feels like the bottom's about to drop out, they rally and they play well. And maybe that's because they do really like Garrett. The problem is you can have all of that talent, you can have this type of potential, and you still can lose and lose badly the way that you have in recent weeks. But for the Cowboys, if this is their potential, and this is their potential against maybe a good team, then yeah, they're back to being a scary force in the NFC. But the problem is, the other teams of the NFC, like the Saints, like the Packers, like the Niners, like the Vikings right now, they're more consistent. These are teams that have proven week in, week out, they can find ways to win. The Cowboys have proven they can find ways to lose. The Cowboys have one of the biggest potentials in the NFC. The Cowboys, when they play like that last night, can be Super Bowl contenders. The question is, why don't we see that more regularly? Here's your phone number, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. I would also say for the Eagles, their season's on life support. Doug Peterson did not need to say what he said because this Eagles team is a mediocre team. Philadelphia had no answer early in that game. The Cowboys took the fight to them, jumped out to the 14-0 lead, went right down the field, two long drives, bing, 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 scored touchdowns instead of settling for field goals, and the Eagles were not ready for that start. And when the sledgehammer of Ezekiel Elliott came, they couldn't stop it. Amari Cooper was dynamic in this game. The secondary of the Eagles is totally banged up. And Carson Wentz, there is questions about Wentz. I think when we see him, talking about highs and lows, when we see him at his best, Wentz looks like a franchise quarterback. But there's enough that circulates inside that locker room, and there's this season and the end of last season that make you wonder, well, would they have been better off not going with Wentz, but instead hitching their wagon to Nick Foles? Now, that feels unfair right now because Foles is injured anyway, and I think they made the right decision. Look, I think your window and ceiling is higher with Wentz for a longer time, but it will always make us all wonder if the Eagles are this type of team and Wentz can't elevate their play, there will always be the question mark about whether Philadelphia made the right decision. I really hate to do Mraz dirty because I like him as a friend. But what he stepped into this weekend with his piggy doodle dandy nonsense about the Yankees and his Daniel Jones is the best player in the NFL draft class, it's just all come up and smacked him right in the ham hocks. And I think it's time to address that coming up here next. I think it's time to address that. But we're taking your phone calls on the NFL, on the World Series, on the ALCS ending. Our toll-free line brought to you by GEICO, 855-212-4227. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. GEICO.com, 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Steve is in Binghamton, New York, listening on 1430 there. Good morning, Steve.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
What's up?
Hey, so I've been a lifetime Cowboys fan, watched all of Jason Garrett's tenure. Last night was an incredible win, shows all the potential. Greatest fear is that unless they have all their stars healthy, their tackles, Amari Cooper, they look lights out. If any one of those guys are done, Jason Garrett doesn't really know how to coach a team like the Saints have done with Teddy Bridgewater and other teams have done with less. That's the biggest scare, that they need everybody healthy to win games, and I think that's why if he doesn't go to a Super Bowl this year, he's going to be done.
I think that's fair. I think you're right, Steve. Garrett has not proven the ability to adjust. He has not proven the ability to handle adversity and handle it well. And as you get deeper into the playoffs, I mean, they've won a couple playoff games, but always in the early rounds, they can't get to an NFC championship game. That's when you start having to make adjustments, and you coach against better coaches, and you play against deeper rosters and better quarterbacks and better teams. The Cowboys have spent a lot of money on this roster. And when that roster is healthy, it pays dividends. And you're right. If it's healthy, it could be a monster. If it's not, this is where Garrett gets exposed. Right now, for the most part, healthy, and they played like a monster last night. When we return, has Piggy Doodle Dandy finally learned his oinky lesson? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Upside.
Morning, DA. How you doing? So I caught up on your Nomad show, and I really think it's excellent that you do that when you go to places. Me as a fan of your show, I now feel a little bit closer to you as a sportscaster, even as just an individual.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Feeling good on a Monday morning, man. Episode of Nomad, season number 4, the debut. My trip to Clemson 2 weeks ago, that's available on YouTube. My travel series, available all places that you can watch videos, and that's primarily on YouTube, but you can search it on the web. You'll find it as well. A couple of other places, including social media. My series, Nomad, took me to Clemson. Next week, episode number 2 of the brand new season, my trip to London for the English Premier League. And soccer fans, brand new project that I'm debuting today called Match DA. After every day, multiple series or multiple episodes rather during MLS playoffs, I'll break it all down in video form for you. Tweet that out, post it on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, so that our MLS fans get their fix as well. It is such a football-centric time of year, hard to shoehorn in any MLS playoff reaction, but postseason's been great over the first 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, so I want to give it some time, give it some room. I think you'll like how we break it down here, something that you don't see if you're a soccer fan. I'll tweet that out, put it on Facebook, and you'll see that on YouTube as well after the show today and after the show tomorrow to recap Saturday and Sunday's action. It's time to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet at me, DA on CBS, and be listening later on in the show when we'll answer that question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, our fine, fleshy friend, Sean Mraz, as you know, is a huge Yankee fan. And I've been banging the drum for this for 7 years since I've known him. Respect for the opponent is so important in life, because it shows respect to others in life. It means that you're not self-involved. It means that you're not arrogant. It means that you understand there's a life outside of your own. And so it doesn't mean you need to root for your opponent. It certainly means you can root for your own team and be upset when they lose or happy when they win. But to consistently puke all over your foes and to consistently beat your chest and guarantee supremacy is really off-putting and puts you in a really dangerous position when your team does not deliver. And whose team consistently delivers those goods? This is the reason that Patriots fans or Warriors fans are so impossible to stomach, is because for their time of dominance, they can beat their chest, they can be arrogant, they can be insufferable, and there are no repercussions because they win everything. Mraz doesn't root for those teams. He roots for a football team that's been a 5-win outfit for the better part of a decade. And he roots for a baseball team that has won one World Series in 20 years. And yet, even though the Astros had defeated the Yankees 2 postseasons ago, and even though the Red Sox beat the Yankees last postseason, you would think that perhaps Mraz would have learned his lesson by now. Don't get in over your skis. But no. No. Mraz guaranteed Yankees in 5 before the series began. The Astros jumped out to a 3-1 series lead. Mraz said on Friday's show, "I guarantee you if the Yankees win tonight against Justin Verlander, they will win in 7. I guarantee it." Of course, the Yankees did beat Justin Verlander in Game 5. And it all blew up in his face. I had built a montage that he was going to have to play Saturday night if the Yankees got beat in 5. That did not happen. But why let a good montage go to waste? And so, Pete the Body Bilotti, please cue the music. Because here is your Game 6 ALCS recap montage for Oinktober. It's a good thing this show is called The Pork Store, because I see a piggy hanging from a hook.
There it goes, George Springer. A 3-run shot.
Look, the series is already 2-2. I mean, frankly, we could all shut our eyes tonight by 8:30, and we know we wake up and we know what happens.
And it is inside. No, strike 3.
And he got quick pitch, too.
The Astros need to find a way to win this game tonight. They won't. Somehow, Zach Greinke's going to outduel one of the greatest postseason pitchers of all time in his building tonight.
Looking up. See you later. A 3-run home run for Carlos Correa.
Deep to left. Clears it. Series over. See you, Washington. Greinke's going to get bombed tonight. Tanaka's probably going to throw 7-inning gem.
How about that?
Delivers another 1-2.
Swing
and a miss. Struck him out on a pitch inside. A fastball.
Rain helped the Yankees yesterday.
Essentially, A.J. Hinch's decision now to go Greinke and Verlander ended the series for all intents and purposes.
I just don't like him.
Swung on and hit in the end of deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone to win the series.
Going back. Looking up. See you later. See you later. See you later. Astros headed back to the World Series. Jose Altuve, a walk-off two-run homer.
He's a joke. He's a clown.
Silly piggy. Rings aren't for you.
Ball game over. Houston wins.
Bye-bye, swine.
Get a few goals at the beginning of the year. Win the division. Check mark that box.
Oh, no.
Win the division series. Check mark that box. Win the American League. Check mark that box. Let's go win the World Series. Yeah!
Those are the stats of A.J. Hinch popping bottles of champagne in the post-game clubhouse saying, check, we won the division. Check, we won the divisional round. Check, we've now won the American League. Let's go win the World Series. Yeah! Mraz, have you finally learned your lesson not to be so arrogant because it comes back and hits you tenfold?
Well, look, the one thing you can't account for is destiny. When the Astros are making plays like that and Altuve's homering, great series for them. They clearly, the Yankees and Astros are the two best teams in baseball. They're going to go win the World Series now, probably in four. But all this does is this is bad news for Yankee haters, because this, what you just saw happen is going to unleash a beast in a non-salary cap league. And I wouldn't be shocked if the Yankees sign both Gerrit Cole and Steven Strasburg now and make the Astros worse. And what we were about to embark on, because they just went a decade without a World Series, are frankly the next version of the Roaring Twenties. And by the Yankees losing this series, you know, you might want to say lose the battle to win the war.
Pathetic.
By them losing this series, they might have just gone the world, won the World Series, been satisfied, not spent a lot.
Right.
Now they're going to go over the top, get Gerrit Cole, maybe Strasburg, and you're looking at probably a run of four World Series in the next 5 years, and it is going to be the team of the decade in the 20s and the Roaring 20s. And, you know, you guys can all laugh, and I get it, and I understand. Dance on my grave now.
Mm-hmm.
What just happened is the worst thing in the world to happen to Yankee haters, because the beast is about to be awoken.
Now, I'm wondering, where was all of that anger and frustration for the Yankees front office since you didn't even go to a World Series over the last 10 years?
We're building a perennial champion.
Why didn't you unleash the beast anytime over the last 10 years?
I can't explain that. I think they pulled back on some of their spending because, you know, they whiff on guys like Ellsbury and probably Stanton, and I understand that. And they didn't go after a Machado, a Harper, or a Corbin, or even a Dallas Keuchel. But now you realize, looking at this, they thought they could win it with what they had. They clearly can't. The one team they can't get past is the Astros. The Astros are the Yankees' daddies right now. How do you get past them? You take their best pitcher in Gerrit Cole. Maybe you take the other team, one of their top pitchers in the World Series, Steven Strasburg, say, we assume our lineup's going to hit eventually. Let's go mow down and win all these games 2-0 if we have to.
You realize that you didn't lose this series based on starting pitching.
Yes and no. Yes and no. I mean, they didn't hit for sure, but
it
would have been nice to have that guy waiting in the wings. I mean, if Gerrit Cole's not on the Astros, he's on the Yankees. Are the Yankees in the World Series? Probably. So all that happened now is the Yankees know, look, we got to do all we can this offseason to capitalize. So my assumption is, and I know anything happens to baseball, I would think for the next five World Series, once you take care of this offseason, I'll give you two definite, and then we'll see what go from there.
Oh, I see. So after losing in the ALCS, you're guaranteeing two World Series championships for the Yankees.
We will be at two Yankee parades before LeBron is the next Terminator.
Yeah, because that's never actually going to happen. You know, it is kind of ridiculous, because I would think that you'd learn your lesson by now.
What lesson?
You're rooting for a baseball team that, unfortunately for you, is no longer the class of Major League Baseball. You can't outspend everybody.
What are you talking about? They're one of the two best teams in baseball.
You've won one World Series in 20 years. You're choke artists. You're gag artists.
Choke artists? We rebuilt. We were in rebuilding mode. Now we're here.
Highest payroll in baseball perennially.
At least, that's a farce.
At least one of them. At least one of the highest payrolls in baseball perennially. And you have one title in 20 years to show. The Red Sox have four. The Astros are sitting on two in the last 3 years.
Great. The Roaring 20s are here, pal. Get on board.
The Royals have won a World Series more recently than you have.
Good for the Royals. Look, eventually parity had to hit Major League Baseball. That's what happened this decade.
And maybe
now the Yankees are a beast about to awaken in this offseason.
Next
year's not even going to be fun for other teams, because the Yankees are going to have everybody.
Oh, got it. Got it. Now, it's interesting that you bring up the Yankees will just outspend everybody, because the new Steinbrenner clan, George's sons,
they don't want to overspend. They have been very responsible with the luxury tax threshold.
Sure.
So suddenly you think that that's just going to go out the window.
Because it's unacceptable what's happened here.
Wasn't losing to the Red Sox last year unacceptable?
Now you know this is the one to get past.
Oh, okay.
And
now it's different.
Also, wouldn't it have been nice to see the Astros actually beat the Yankees at full strength? I mean, let's be fair here. Mm-hmm. Yankees this postseason, undefeated with Giancarlo Stanton, winless without him. Astros couldn't even beat the Yankees at full strength.
So this came down to Giancarlo Stanton.
He's the highest paid player, the biggest slugger. They did not lose when he was in the lineup this postseason.
Now, do you think that that might be a problem moving forward, considering you have him under contract for the next 10 years? You have him and Jacoby Ellsbury making $56 million next year combined?
You're right. No, 48. But 48? Nonetheless, the point is, you got to be. And the Yankees didn't have their third baseman all year. This was a rough year injury wise.
They're going to have a wasted Giancarlo and a wasted Jacoby Ellsbury, and you think they're going to go out and spend another $30 million a year on somebody?
Maybe on pitching?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, because that's the Yankee way. It's over. The Roaring Twenties are here. Uh-huh. Enjoy your little carrot you got, because we're going to have the whole cake next decade.
Do you know what the Roaring Twenties even were?
Yeah. Women were flappers. Uh-huh. They were the flappers all over the place. We had Prohibition. People weren't allowed to drink. Then they were allowed to drink. Then Boardwalk Empire was made. Uh-huh. There's a lot of things that happened.
Got it.
Steve Buscemi. Mm-hmm.
Is this not the same exact spiel we got last year when they lost?
The same exact one. And 2 years ago after they lost
to
the Astros.
We'll go get Keuchel. All the guys you didn't get, we were going to get
same
this time
spiel.
Last year. Right? They're waking up this giant. Look out for next year.
Same exact
spiel. Look, the Astros bought another trip to the World Series. Time for us to buy one.
Yes. I mean, true. But you're making these empty promises again. And it's the same thing, that you just changed names and dates from last year.
Why can't you just learn your lesson?
What lesson? The Yankees are one of the two best teams. They just lost the World Series in six games.
You guaranteed they would win in five. They lost in six. You guaranteed that they would win in seven.
Did I know Michael Brantley? Did I know Michael Brantley was going to make a circus catch? Did I know we weren't going to walk Altuve to get to Mariznick? I mean, what are we talking about here, guys?
Excuses. Excuses, and it's pathetic. It is so unbecoming.
Unbecoming? You guys aren't even Yankee fans. You live to hate the Yankees. How sad a life is that?
You all
have sad lives.
I got no dog in the fight. I just see.
No dog in the fight? You've been spitting in my face for a month.
I'm only spitting in your face because you guarantee wins. If you would just sit there like a normal fan and watch the games.
I got pretty close to being right, right? We got to a game six tied.
You said Yankees in five.
Because it should have been. I didn't know Stanton was going to get hurt.
Guy
hits a homer in game one, goes down. We couldn't win without him.
It's so sad.
No, it's sad that this bozo next to me, Bilotti, this bozo Bogish, and you, the bozo, grew up Met fans. You hate the Yankees, and you hate the fact that I'm usually right.
We hate the Yankees because of people like you.
Damn right. Oh, shut up.
And honestly, Mraz, if you rooted for the Tampa Bay Rays, and you would guarantee wins every single time the Rays were in a series, we would hate you, too.
It's not
the Yankees. It's you.
Yankees. Now something is wrong with confidence in life. Is it that women say all the time? Nothing better than a good, confident guy. Well, that's what I am. I'm a good, confident guy. Just because you guys aren't comfortable in your own skin doesn't make me a bad guy for being confident.
You look like a pathetic loser today. You are digging your hole so deep, and it's so pathetic.
Because I'm excited for this next decade of Yankee baseball. That's pathetic.
Better
the
than
Roaring
this last decade.
20s. We're going to look back 100 years. Our grandkids are going to look back and go, remember those Yankee teams in the 20s?
Yeah, the 1920s.
Because he learned the Roaring 20s, he has confidence in the next decade for the Yankees.
That was Prohibition, right? See,
sure,
I know.
Yeah.
Also,
I know history.
What happened to Daniel Jones being the best player in his draft class?
Still is.
Oh.
Got crushed yesterday by Evan Engram and Tate not dropping passes in the offensive line, not blocking. Mm-hmm. Feel bad for him.
Uh-huh.
Guys throwing seeds all over the place. There's no help.
Mm-hmm.
So you've asked multiple times, D.A., would he have learned his lesson? I can't believe you asked that question out loud. Of course he hasn't learned his lesson.
The answer is he will never learn the lesson.
I mean, he's learned nothing. That's the lesson that we've learned throughout the entirety of your relationship. Nothing that's
absolutely
ever come to his face has stuck in that brain of his.
None.
Nothing.
Beyond incorrigible.
Thank you, Pete.
Here's your phone number if you want to weigh in on Mraz's idiocy. 855-212-4CBS. Yes, I will welcome you shoving it right back in Mraz's face, Astros fans. 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, I'll read your tweets. DA on CBS. When we come back, former NFL quarterback Matt McGloin's going to join us. We'll talk NFL with him. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
now get zapped while the sun is out.
Hey, DA.
It was hot TV, my friend. It was hot. It was good.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Hot TV, my friend. Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. There's so many ways you can listen to the show. You can listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network on all of our wonderful affiliates. Also on Sirius XM, Channel 206. You can also check us out using your smartphone. Stream us at radio.com or the CBS Sports app or Apple Music. And you can watch the simulcast at watchda.com. Plenty of you guys want to weigh in on Mraz's aggressive Yankee squawking. So you can do so with our phone number at 855-212-4227. You can also hit us on Twitter as well with that, DA on CBS. Our next guest was a starter and a quarterback, a backup quarterback as well in the NFL for a number of years. Played there for six seasons. Also is now a quarterback in the XFL for the New York Guardians. He played at Penn State and now is an NFL analyst. Joining us this morning on the show, Matt McGloin. Matt, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
You got it. My pleasure. Let's start with the Sunday night game. You know, the Cowboys were taking on water. They were on a losing streak. They did not look good. And then last night, they blow the doors off the Eagles. Did last night tell you more about the potential of the Cowboys or that the Eagles are a weakened, vulnerable team that's not very good right now?
I think it shows the potential of the Cowboys. I mean, you talk about a team who really started off the season on fire, and then obviously the past few weeks have struggled, but it seems they've collected themselves and to do what they did last night against an always dangerous, you know, Philadelphia team. But very, very impressive to watch.
The Green Bay Packers also had a hugely impressive win over the Oakland Raiders, specifically because Aaron Rodgers had a perfect quarterback rating. When you look at the marriage right now between LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers, do you see something different than what Rodgers has had with Mike McCarthy the last couple of years?
Well, sure. You know, I think now what he has with Matt LaFleur is kind of that, you know, hands-on type of coach. And I think what he had with McCarthy in the past was kind of like, okay, let me go out there and let me work. It was kind of the Aaron Rodgers show, which, you know, they won a lot of football games and, you know, they did a lot of great things. But I just think it's different now. I think, you know, being able to work with somebody who, like Matt LaFleur, who's a young guy, maybe sees the game differently and is trying to change some things there. And it's working out for them. I mean, Rodgers plays fantastic. He has capabilities of doing that week in and week out. But to see what they were able to do there yesterday, somewhat of a statement win for them. And they're for real. Very, very dangerous football team moving forward.
So you said that LaFleur is a little bit more hands-on, and yet it felt like Rodgers resented something about Mike McCarthy. What do you think that was about? Because we would think that maybe it was because McCarthy was too hands-on.
You know, again, I never had the opportunity to play for Mike McCarthy or Matt LaFleur or even be involved, you know, with the Green Bay organization. I mean, I had a workout there when I was a free agent. That's the extent of what I know about them. But from the outside looking in, you know, and a lot of times you see this across the NFL when you have a quarterback as powerful on and off the field as Aaron Rodgers and you have a head coach who has had a career like Mike McCarthy, a lot of times you see a power struggle. And now what it seems like is that Matt LaFleur stepped in and he is treating everybody with respect, everybody at the same level that he's on for, and it's because of one common goal, and that's to win football games. And the most successful teams that I've been around, that has been the mindset. There's no, you know, offensive coordinator or head coach that's stubborn, doesn't want to change ways. I mean, they're doing whatever they have to do to win football games week in and week out, and that is what the best teams in the NFL do. I mean, I've been around guys, I've been around head coaches and coordinators that refuse to change their ways. You know, it's been, this is the way it is, and this is what we're going to do. And a lot of times it doesn't work out like that, but I think we're seeing that in Green Bay this year. And, I mean, they have the record to prove it. You know, they're doing it every season.
Matt McGloin joins us this morning on the show, former NFL quarterback. The first 4 weeks of the season, boy, Kirk Cousins didn't look very good, and he had to apologize to Adam Thielen, and his head coach is asking openly about why he can't win big games. And the last 2 weeks, he has been on fire. Why do we attribute the traumatic change in Cousins the last 2 weeks?
Well, somebody's put a fire under them, you know, and in so many ways, when you constantly are getting bad press, you know, you see it as much as NFL players and college players don't want to admit it. You know, we read the news, we watch TV, so we see what you're saying, and it's definitely motivating, but it comes to a point now when it's inside that locker room and you have to sit across from somebody before you go out to practice, and you know that it's uncomfortable. So you're either going to go one of two ways. You're either going to try a way to figure it out, or it's going to become a disaster. And it seems as if Kirk Cousins has took the road to figuring it out. He's going to do whatever he can do to rally that team and make sure they continue to play well. I mean, I know he got a lot of criticism from everybody for being extremely high paid and not being able to get the job done, especially against teams with winning records in the NFL. But the past 2 weeks, as you mentioned, he's been on fire. He's playing the type of football that everybody expected him to play when he showed up in Minnesota. So, it's fantastic to see, and it's great for the game. It's exciting to watch.
Matt McGloin is our guest this morning on the DA Show, former Penn State quarterback. Let's talk about your Nittany Lions coming off the 28-21 victory over number 16 Michigan. Let's start with the top of the Big Ten. Is Penn State good enough to beat Ohio State this year?
You know, I talked about this after the game on Saturday. I think it's fair now to put them in the category as an elite football team throughout the country. Mention them in the conversation with the Alabamas, the Clemsons, the LSU, the Ohio State. It's fair to say that defensively, they're there. Offensively, they're continuing to improve. Now, if they're playing Ohio State this week or if they played Ohio State on Saturday, I don't think they get the job done. I don't think they're good enough at this point to beat Ohio State. But moving forward, as I mentioned, defensively, they can play with anybody. Offense needs to improve. They need to become more consistent. You know, Saturday night, they were up 21-0. Score, score, score. And then they just stalled. It seemed like there was a lull throughout the course of the game. They got relaxed. They got conservative. And fortunately, they got away with it. They were able to score and get out of there in a very close football game. But you cannot do that. I mean, they play Michigan State this week, a team they've lost to the past two seasons, so it's a big game for them, and a trap game in Minnesota in a few weeks. But, you know, let's be honest, everybody has had that Ohio State game circled for a long time, and I think that's what everybody is keen on. And that's going to make or break their year. You can't lose a football game. You know, you want to get to the conference championship. You want to get to the playoff. You can't lose. So it's been an interesting year. Good for them. All eyes are on them, as they should be.
And Penn State was on the doorstep of seeing that game go to overtime as Michigan was on the doorstep of scoring. And the pass from Shea Patterson is right in the hands of the receiver. He drops it. That would potentially send it to overtime. I want to ask you about Harbaugh before we get out of here. Harbaugh is now 1-10 against top 10 ranked opponents. What's the biggest difference why Harbaugh can beat mediocre to bad teams but never beat the elite ones? We've got about a minute left.
I just don't think they know how to win. And I think that's something we saw in Penn State. You know, there's playing time and there's winning time. And it's what you're able to do in those moments that decides what type of football team you are. You have to be able to understand the difference. Penn State lost every major statistical category. You know, passing yardage, time of possession, but they won the turnover battle. And I think that's where the difference is. It comes to a point in a game where you're going to say, okay, we need to do something here to win this football game. Michigan hasn't been able to do it. Penn State has done it this year. They did it on the road versus a tough Iowa team, and they did it home at a whiteout College Game Day 7:30 kickoff, ABC on a national stage. And that's where I mentioned I think they belong in that elite category. And, I mean, for Jim Harbaugh in Michigan, I mean, that record speaks for itself. You know, you can't do that and can be considered one of the best teams in the country. It'll be interesting to see, you know, Michigan the rest of the year. I mean, they have Notre Dame coming up as well. So, I mean, they have a chance to have three losses already, almost, you know, more than halfway through the season. So, you know, interesting football as college football always is.
Matt McGloin joining us this morning on the show. He's the new
quarterback of the New York Guardians of the XFL, and their season begins coming up in February following the end of the NFL season. So spring football is back. The XFL tries its hand at it coming up in February. Excited to see your league get off the ground here, Matt. Excited to see you on the field as well. Let's talk to you a little bit closer to the start of the XFL season, and we'll discuss what you got coming up with the league, all right?
Yeah, sounds good, yeah.
Sounds good. Matt McGloin joining us this morning here on the show. Again, the beginning of the XFL coming up in February following the NFL season. He'll be the starting quarterback of the New York Guardians of the XFL. We saw the AAF have good football last year. Obviously, the financial backing wasn't there. The stability wasn't there from a business standpoint for the AAF. But for the XFL, feels like they've got sturdier legs, a better foundation under them. So I would expect the football to be good because last year's AAF football was good. And if the football is good, everything else should come along with it. When we come back here on the show, is this Sean Payton's best coaching job ever? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.